right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, rather, and we're taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Got a big basketball game to talk about tonight as the somewhat schizophrenic Indiana Hoosiers lost on Saturday at Penn State, the game that really makes you scratch your head here during the Big Ten season for the Hoosiers, and now they bring Iowa to town, number 4 ranked Iowa, and the team leading the Big Ten at the moment, and 10-1 in the Big Ten, 19-4 overall, coming out of, can't say nowhere, but not expected to be at the top of the Big Ten by this stage by very many people, if any. They do have a veteran starting lineup with 4 seniors and a junior, and they're putting up a bunch of points, actually play ball rather similarly to the Hoosiers in that no one would call their defense their strength, but their offense is. But this is a well-rounded team, and it is a veteran team, and it comes to Assembly Hall tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on ESPN. And Glass, this is kind of the Missouri game. This is the show me game, if you will, for the Hoosiers, because coming off the loss at Penn State, you need to get your faith back in this team, that they're not going to fall apart across what is understood to be a much more difficult second half of their conference schedule than their first half of their conference schedule. They go to Michigan State on Sunday. It is Sunday, yes.
1 o'clock.
On Sunday. I mean, that's a very difficult ask up there at East Lansing. Michigan State starting to get things back together and ranked in the top 10. So you really have to have this game, one, if you want to have any chance at a Big Ten championship, but two, to prove to people that you really are on the right track for the rest of this season. A couple losses you can afford, but you got to win the ones at home to prove things
here. Well, and I think beating the better teams are the ones that got everybody fired up. You beat a good Michigan team that everybody thought was really pretty solid at 7-2 at the time, and then Michigan has taken Indiana.
Thumpings.
Well, Indiana only beat them by quote-unquote 13 points. That game wasn't close. It was a thumping. And then Michigan State thumped them after we thumped them, and that's a whole lot of thumping going on. But the point is, the question about Indiana is it's never been about when it works. It's always about when is it going to work and against mm-hmm. whom. And the Hoosiers' best part of this scenario right now is that the Iowa game is at home. You didn't want this to be the second of a 3-game road trip where it's at Penn State, at Iowa, at Michigan State. You do have the pleasure, so to speak, of sleeping in your own bed, shooting on your own rims, and you got you got an extra day. You played Saturday night. Iowa played Sunday afternoon, so you do have a little bit extra time there. But at home, Dave, and you're right, Indiana has to hold serve. That's where you do it. You've seen what's happened on the road in the Big Ten. They didn't play that great against Nebraska. They didn't play that great against Rutgers. They didn't play that great against Minnesota. They lost at Wisconsin. They lost at Penn State. There hasn't been those performances. They had one in the Michigan game, and it was fantastic for a good portion of that game, a good 25 minutes of that game. So getting the business taken care of at home goes back to what? Well, it goes back to what works for this team, and that's the keys that you didn't see a lot of. When the jump shot doesn't fall, what has to fall? And that means getting the ball to the basket, getting to the free throw line, getting layups. And does that come from half-court offense? Yes. Does it come from your defense? Yes. Does it come from rebounding? Yes. There's not one switch Indiana can flip besides making 15 threes in a game that's going to change anything. That's why it has to be a performance where the bench contributes. It has to be a performance where the starting five contributes. It has to be layups. It has to be points through the paint. You can't turn it over 100 times. The formula is simple. It's how does this team react from a loss they shouldn't have taken, quote unquote, and how do they get back to their winning ways? What makes the ball go back in the basket easier? It's simple. Not being out of control offensively, getting into spaces, making extra passes, and the comfort of shooting at home should shine through in that. But again, this wasn't a team, Dave, against Minnesota that we saw knocking down shots for fun. 2 for 18 that night.
Yeah, struggling.
So that's
was
the
here.
Last time it was here. Yeah. And again, that has to play into the back of their minds. And this is going to show, to a degree, what this team is made of. It's a little adversity. The adversity they saw one time in the Big Ten season, the loss of Wisconsin, they came back to Indiana at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon and almost got beat by the worst team in the league. It was a competitive game down to the final seconds. They didn't exactly snap out of it and say, hey, that was an aberration. Then they went on the road and lost to Penn State. If there's any more aberrations, Iowa is not Minnesota. Iowa is not Penn State, Dave. They are ranked in the top 5 in the country for a reason, because they have size, they have strength, they have speed, they have shooting. All the things on Indiana's really good day that they have as well. And Iowa's not going to be bothered if Indiana gets hot. this Iowa team, remember, was at Mackey Arena, down 19 points on Rick Mount night.
Yep.
Place is going nuts. Rick Mount hadn't been there in 100 years. They're all pumped up, ready to go. Purdue comes out, shoots the dimples off the basketball, and Iowa didn't lose their cool. Iowa kept their head, turned the game around, and won it. So it's not going to be one of those, hey, we'll just show up and blast 10 threes here, and away we go. Iowa's playing for it. When was the last time they won a Big Ten championship?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a hugely long time. Iowa's schedule hasn't been nearly as has been completely demanding as the other side of the Hoosiers. So playing a big game for Iowa, that's business as usual to them, Dave. And when you throw that all together, it should be a game for the lead in the Big Ten, and by gosh, it is.
Yep, and Iowa has certainly up till this stage proved it. Their one loss in the conference at Maryland in a six-point game, so that was a tight game to begin with. Four of their wins very early in the season were over Michigan State and Purdue, home and away for both. Michigan State was with and without Denzel Valentine at the time and struggling a bit, but those are still impressive wins, and certainly winning at Mackey, as you mentioned, on a big night for Purdue when Purdue had a big lead. Those are both very nice wins. So they have shown to everyone that they are the best team in the Big Ten right now. Their schedule pretty well lightens up. It's not easy, I would say, but it's not that difficult.
Minnesota,
down the stretch
Penn State.
Here. It's not the very top, other than another game against the Hoosiers, who are currently in
home
second
Wisconsin,
or third place
home
right
Indiana.
Now.
I mean, that's not.
You got to get this one against Iowa if you're the Hoosiers.
You
and again,
right now.
you got to get them for two reasons. And the first one is, if you have any hope for the Big Ten championship, this is your biggest shot at the leader in the Big Ten. We'll talk more about this game when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. IU hosts Iowa tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on ESPN at the Assembly Hall, of course. And Iowa now in first place in the Big Ten and certainly deserving of being there. 10-1 in the conference. Their only loss at Maryland, the number two team in the league. They won home and aways. They swept home and aways against Michigan State and Purdue, two more of the top half of the Big Ten at this point.
And I think the Maryland game is interesting if you want to look at Iowa and you think, well, you know, who's Iowa? What are they doing? Are they 10-2 or whatever? You've already brought up who they've beaten.
Mm-hmm.
But the game to Maryland, the part that interests me is twofold. Number one, Big Ten Player of the Year candidate, National Player of the Year candidate, was 2-for-13 in the game. Now, I did grab 10 rebounds, but he played 35 minutes, scored 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not firing in all cylinders, and Iowa's in that game until the final 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so they find a way when their big player isn't playing. The other thing that you got to look at, Melo Trimble had 11 points on 2-of-7 shooting, hit 2-of-6 threes, only had 3 assists in 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a way to keep a premium point guard quiet. Those two things should get Indiana fans' attentions because Indiana has a premium point guard. And we have seen before, sometimes when his night gets a little quiet, mm-hmm. things don't go
things
Indiana's
don't work
way.
Well,
they sure didn't at Penn State. So Maryland showed you they have some balance in other places. They put Trimble did have 11 points, but they went 17, 17, 11, and 9 for their other four starters. And Iowa's other four starters had 11, 11, 12, and 14. Guess when Indiana's really good? When we read box scores off like that.
That's right. A whole lot of players contributing.
When you have guys contributing, and when Indiana struggles, it's Yogi has X, and either Brian or Williams has Y, and then everybody else
everybody's
is kind of
playing
struggling.
20 minutes because they're in foul trouble,
so,
or something silly.
What it shows me is Iowa on the road in a very hostile environment. Dan Dockett says it's the loudest, meanest, roughest place to play in the league at Maryland. He said that multiple times during that game, and he said it multiple other times when Maryland has been at home in league play. Illinois. Iowa didn't wilt. They were down 6 at halftime. Played the second half even at 33-33, mm-hmm. and that's what their best guy going, 2-of-13 from the field. Now, he did grab 10 rebounds, so it wasn't like he was sitting around in foul problems doing nothing. We had 2 fouls, but Woodbury did. Woodbury had a great game. He had 10 points and 11 boards and fouled out. So they have that balance, Dave, where you can't just say, hey, if we shut down Utah,
right,
okay, Knight's taken care of. That's not true, and that shows you right there.
They have other guys that can do it. One of those guys that's been playing really well for them, kind of out of the blue. And this is a kid who had some rankings when he was much younger and then had some injuries in high school, Peter Jock. But he has found his shooting stroke and is playing phenomenally as the only junior in their starting lineup. Their starting lineup plays the majority of their minutes. Let's look at the up front, though, because you talk about Adam Woodbury, you talk about Gerard Utoff, you talk about Dom Uhl, you talk about some big guys here, and when we've struggled, when this Hoosier team has struggled, Thomas Bryant has often been
the victim,
missing in some fashion.
And it's usually foul problems.
Exactly right. And what he's going up against here, and I don't mean to pick on Thomas, but the fact of the matter is his team is much better when he's on the floor, and they're going through him. So we need him on the floor as much as we can. Looking forward, it's going to be a rough introduction up to East Lansing on the weekend. But in this particular game, he's going up against a pair of seniors and a sophomore, and a lot of size and a lot of physicality. And I'm very concerned about this Hoosier team from the standpoint of what it's going to get out of Thomas Bryant. Max Bielfeld, Max is not going to back down from the guys necessarily, but he's also not going to produce in the same way that Thomas Bryant can and command the attention that Thomas Bryant can. He's got to find a way to stay in the game against a guy that's going to pick at him all game long. And you know this guy likes to do stuff. I mean, you remember the poking in the eye and all that kind of crap a year or two ago.
On the jump balls.
If there's anything that's going to get under Pat or anybody that's going to get on Thomas Bryant's skin, it's going to be Adam Woodbury.
Why?
So that's, to me, the biggest concern I have for the Hoosiers is, can they keep Thomas Bryant on the floor? Can they get Adam Woodbury in foul trouble? Can they get him to be productive for them? Because they need him so bad, they need his attention so bad, and they need him on the floor just at all.
Well, and the other thing about Woodbury is he clogs up space because he is a big, big galoot. And he gave Diamond Stone problems, the freshman at Maryland, the heralded freshman. Remember, Stone had 39 in a game earlier this season. He had 9 on 6 shots and only had 4 rebounds in 21 minutes. He had 3 fouls in that game. So if you want a heads-up comparison there, you've got one. But Woodbury did foul out. He played great, though. 26 minutes, he had 11 points and 10 rebounds. And again, he's not going to score from more than 2
feet
away
from the
basket.
He's not a big scorer for him, no.
But the other thing about it is he clogs up driving lanes. And if Thomas Bryant is going to have his way with him, that's hopefully he's going to – again, take a deep breath, not get caught up in any games of state, because Woodbury has seen the tape, and Woodbury is going to pick, scratch, pull, tug, dig at him. That doesn't always work on the road, maybe as well as it does at home. But Bryant can step out and hit the jump shot. And if Bryant can be smart and take shots that are prudent within the offense, and if he can get through Woodbury at the rim, Dave, and get to the foul line and put Woodbury on the bench – well, I know I'd rather play without him clogging that space up for Indiana's drivers than I would with him on the court. So it'll be interesting to see what the attack pattern on him is. The most interesting matchup for me is how they're going to handle Jock. Jock is 6'7". He's athletic. He has found a jump shot. I talked about on Monday. He has made kind of that Victor Oladipo sophomore to junior year leap where, boy, there's no question about how fast he can run and how high he can jump.
Right.
But can he knock down shots on a consistent basis? Can he make good decisions? Guarding him, that's going to be a full-time job split by three guys. That's going to be Troy Williams, OG Anunoby, and Juwan Morgan. And that's the good news for Indiana. They're going to have three guys that can run at him. And if they even want to go a little bit different, Dave, you put Yogi on him because he's the peskiest defender there is.
See,
and getting the ball stuff. You saw that last night with Michigan State and Purdue.
And
put P.J. Thompson on 6'7 Valentine to bother his dribble.
And see, that becomes part of your question, because Gasell's a very good point guard, but he's also not much of a scorer. He's not much of a scoring threat. He can shoot it. He's a nice player, certainly
he's
productive for them.
Guy.
But do you need your best defender on Mike Gasell? I think the answer is I'd like to see him a little bit on Peter Jock and see what he can do to him. Again, Gasell and Clemens don't scare you from the standpoint of they're probably going to go off shooting the ball. You don't want to leave them open.
They're seniors.
If you want to find a guy that you want to put your best defender on, it's going to be Utoff or it's going to be Jock, and I don't think you put Yogi on Utoff.
And the other thing about Yogi with that matchup is him and Johnson can alternate, because you can't put Yogi on the floor for 38 minutes and give him the toughest defensive cover. You can't do it.
Sure.
You can't expect him to be sound mind and body if he's going to be grinding that hard. But I think you've mentioned every starter in the last 30 seconds, and you've just encapsulated what Iowa does. There's not one faucet you can turn off and say, hey, that's cool. You're going to have to play good collective defense. You're going to have to rebound collectively. You're going to have to score collectively. And when Indiana doesn't do that, they have problems, and they've shown us that. You would hope the home court advantage paints that picture, but the experience of Iowa, 4 seniors and a junior who start, a 19-point deficit at Purdue, Dave, they've kind of seen it all. They've already won it at Michigan State.
Yep.
They've already won at Mackey. They played Maryland to the wire at Maryland. They weren't outclassed
in
that game.
And they should have probably beaten Iowa State at Iowa State. They had a big lead in that game.
Oh, it was so hard to watch. You know why they couldn't find us? That was the different Iowa. And what I mean by that is that was a Christmas time game, right? December 20th.
Yeah, it was early December, I want to say.
But the point was, Iowa stood around and watched Jared Utoff in the last 2.5 minutes of that game.
Yeah, said take us.
And said, hey, if you're double teamed, you're going to have to try to shoot over them. Now Jock has grown up. Gazelle's not afraid to take big shots. Clemens can get in penetration situations.
That was December 10th.
There you go. And Iowa has gotten a lot better since December 10th. And that's what makes them effective. They're effective when they move it. They're effective when they get out and transition. They like to do the same thing. They don't like to sit around and wait for things to happen. Mm-hmm. They like to get odd situations and get after it on the glass. So, again, good teams do things similarly, and when Indiana's really good, they do the same thing. They get out and shoot. They get out and run. They get on the glass and play good defense.
Now, the 333-2665 is a phone number. The biggest matchup question for Indiana's defense is, of course, Jared Utoff could very well be the Big Ten player of the year the way he's shooting it. Shooting it lights out, scoring 18.5 a game, shoots well from the free throw line, 45% from three. You got to guard him all the way out there. He certainly has a shot fake in his arsenal. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's certainly a good rebounder, 6.5 a game. So the question there is, I realize it can't probably be one person, but who do you stick out there? Look, this is instant foul trouble for Troy if you put him on Utoff.
Troy's got to be smart. And remember, you're not asking a guy to shut a guy down. He averages 18 points. If he gets 14 or so, that's a good night at the track.
Sure.
What you don't want him is to get 30 and then have 9, 8, 9, 10, 11. Put a hand in the face. Don't let him get layups. Don't let him get open threes. That's part of good defense. I think people think good defense, they think shutout. And that's not the case at all. Hey, the magic word of deflections. Have we heard that in 2 months? No. Get some deflections. Get in passing lanes and do things to make Iowa uncomfortable. Iowa won here last year. They rattled off 6 straight to close out the regular season. They're high-flying, highfalutin, confident. So they're not going to walk in tomorrow night and be like, oh, geez, the banners are here, right? And everything else.
Same group.
Indiana playing this game last year was a game Indiana had to win to get their resume in order or to improve their Big Ten standing, improve their national seed. And Iowa kind of took it to them because they were bigger, meaner, stronger, and faster. And hopefully the Hoosiers learned something from it. But Indiana's greatest asset is what? It sounds like a broken record, and it will be until the new group of guys
until something else, right? It's their offense.
It's their offense. And in a night you can't score, you can't get beat on layups, you can't get beat on second chance points, and you can't get beat in transition as well. It's not a tough formula. The hardest part is Iowa practices and gets ready too. They watch film. They get to do all these things. And when you have two great teams playing, Dave, and these are two really good teams in the Big Ten, I don't think anybody will argue that. What's Indiana going to do? They have to build a lead and have to continue to make Iowa uncomfortable offensively to chase that lead, to get them out of what they want to do instead of these 33-30 games where it just bounces back and forth and no team really has to get out of their comfort area, and then you got a dogfight in the last 2 minutes. I always like having a senior point guard. I always got 4 seniors and a junior.
Yep.
If you want the experience angle, Yogi can't be outnumbered tomorrow.
No, he can't. He's going to have to get contributions from elsewhere, and it's going to have to be contributions with people taking care of the ball. Let's not forget that the last couple of games have not been good turnover-wise. When this team takes care of the ball better
and
than
you know what?
That,
that's
they
interesting
are hard
to talk
to beat.
About. Let's talk about that when we come back, because absolutely, there's playing quick, there's playing fast, and there's playing with speed, and I think there's 3 different ways to look at that.
And we will look at all 3 when we get back. 333-2665 is a phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is a phone number. Quick programming note for you. We have high school basketball Friday night. South heads to Columbus North. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and tip-off is 7:30 for that Conference Indiana matchup. Panthers are 15-4, looking to move a little bit further up the chain there in the conference. And we'll have it for you 7 o'clock on
exactly
Friday.
Right. Before you know it, March is going to be here, Dave. That's just 2 weeks, and that means sectionals. And the girls, congratulations to Edgewood. They're on to the regional coming up on Saturday, taking on Lebanon. Best of luck to Gary Sims and the gang. out there at the Mustang Corral as they move on. Tournament time, but we've got almost a tournament feel-like game here, Dave, with Iowa coming to town tomorrow night, 9:05 on ESPN. Everybody make sure you get your nap in tomorrow. And make sure you probably call in Friday morning, too, just in case this game gets a little tight, just in case it goes to overtime. But we talked going into the break about the three different kinds of quick and fast and hurry up and things where Indiana can either – they work really well when they work, and when they don't work, it's tough. And there's a difference in it. You kind of saw at the Penn State game, and Yogi talked about this afterwards, that it didn't seem like they were ready to go for whatever reason it was. They really couldn't put their finger on it, but it, as he said, it bit them in the butt. But you saw in the beginning of that game, Yogi was playing at a different speed than the rest of his teammates. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was, in a sense, to, hey, come on, let's go. I'm trying to show you lead by example here. We need to be on point. We need to be on our toes. We need to be moving and shaking. But you saw when Yogi would get into situations, it seemed everybody was a half second slow reacting to what he was doing. So you can't have Yogi playing fast and four other guys reacting to what he's doing. You've seen that. It hasn't worked. It doesn't work. And I don't think when Yogi gets 25 or 27, you go back in the annals and point out how many big wins they've had.
Right.
It's when the balance. So Yogi's got a lead in that way. He has to dictate the pace in the sense that when things aren't going well.
So is he doing it wrong in that case?
No.
Trying to drag them
they
along?
They all have to be on the same page before things get started. It can't be 3 minutes in the first time out and everybody's like, whoa, you're going, we thought we were going to go.
Talking about it. Right?
Yeah. Let's figure out why we're not going fast, or let's go fast together. And the other part of that is playing quickly. Does quickly mean take the first good-looking shot you've got because you're at home and you're confident? Well, yeah, it can be, because at home you feel more comfortable that you're making.
Right.
And again, in transition, what is the thing they always want to do? Shoot the three, get Troy to the baseline, and if they jump out on you, try to move it one more pass. But playing quickly at Michigan, they played quickly, but the ball moved quickly. You can have it both ways.
Right.
Not the first good look they had in Michigan. Let's make one more pass. There's a dunk for Troy.
Right.
See, that's there's a difference between fast and there's quick. There's fast shooting and there's quick ball movement. And I think when Indiana gets that fuel mixture right, you saw it. 28-0
yeah,
run.
That's right.
Because the ball moved. Because players moved. Because they were all playing at the same speed. And one thing Indiana can't do is if it isn't working offensively, it can't sulk defensively.
Right.
You can't have that chain.
Unfortunately, that's kind of a given.
That's
with
the next
this team.
Step.
I'm not sure they're the only team that does that.
No,
but
we're worried about
they
this
have
one.
It. I mean, yeah, exactly. They certainly do it that way. 333-2665 is the phone number. Talk about individual players here, because look, Nick Zeisloft is what he is. He is a shooter for this team. He's got to take open shots, but does he take them too fast?
Sometimes he does, and sometimes, he's taken some too fast that have gone in, and you say, hey, went in.
I mean, the last of his four threes at Minnesota, when he's
falling out of bounds sideways,
taking a three-pointer.
I think he would have gone out of bounds with the ball, so he said, what the heck, let's just throw it up there. But you've seen times as well when he's in the game that he's thinking, that coach said, I need to shoot more, and he'll come off a curl, and a guy will be ramming his hand right in his face, and he's going to shoot it anyhow.
Yeah.
That's got to be a better decision from a senior, in my point, because two more passes, three more passes,
might get
he
back.
Could get on a wide open
exactly
shot.
Exactly right.
Because defenses get later in the shot clock and fall asleep a little bit. That's when Zeisloft is his dangerous, is when his threat to make is just as good as his make.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't guard him, he is going to knock more than he's going to make more than he misses unguarded. He doesn't need to take the first look he has. If the thought through your mind is, I'm not sure, then don't. Because you've got enough guys that can break guys off the dribble.
Right.
You've got a guy in the post who's 6'11", who shoots 90%
pretty
from
much
twos.
Everybody you put out there is a threat to hit from outside,
right.
At least
when,
a chance.
And yes. When do they make most of them? When they're wide open. When the ball moves. When the players move. When the cuts happen. How many times have you seen Indiana basketball when they're firing? This is what makes it great. They give up layups for threes.
To get it out.
A contested, but there's Hartman in the corner, and he makes 80% from that corner.
Yep.
They know that.
Yeah, they are unselfish when they do that.
But when they forget about those things, that's the balance they have to find. It's when the game gets a little tight and things don't go their way, what do you revert to? You revert to what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a bad habit or a good habit, good teams, when they get in tough situations, simplify it. And you've heard Tom Crean talk about that a lot this week. We went back to eighth grade stuff on the big practice. Well, that makes sense. That's what you should do, because running around with complexity, switching defenses, doing this and triple this and no. Get the ball to Bryant. See what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good passer. You don't see him get it ripped away too much. That starts things. Or you isolate or you run your one-on-one plays or your high screen rules, whatever your highest percentage, and they run all those numbers. They track those plays. They know out of a timeout. If it's not happening, one of these two plays have to go, and those are the ones they have to execute. Not because it looks different. They just have to trust it.
Two particular questions. 333-2665 is our phone number. Two particular questions that, to me, you'd love to solve or get solved for this basketball team. The first one is, how do they get the ball into Thomas Bryant better, and how much of that is his positioning?
It's D, all the above. The one thing Thomas Bryant can't do, and this is it's true, he cannot throw himself the ball. Mm-hmm. What Indiana, I hope, have worked on is better entry passes.
He's had guys come around him frequently to knock it away.
Right.
I mean, watching the Purdue game last night, you know, A.J. Hammonds and Caleb Swanigan, they had the ball blocked a few times,
right,
but they didn't usually have it taken away from them before they got it.
You get your shot blocked, you get your shot blocked. That's right. Fine. I don't have any problem with that because that's being aggressive going to the basket. But Thomas Bryant can't get the ball to himself. And if he's not getting the ball, you're right. Is it a positional issue? Is mm-hmm. it a defensive issue? Is it why is that happening? I think that's a very fair question. But you've seen at times, especially the younger players, telegraph, and here it comes. And that gives help for good defensive teams. I was ranked 11 in the country in defensive efficiency. My goodness.
Yeah.
The only team in the country ranked in the top 15 in both offense and defense. Mm-hmm. And with Woodbury, here's the other thing where Indiana's going to have to be patient. They don't have to help. Woodbury's 7'2", 265. Right. They don't need to send anybody off
down.
A shooter.
That's right.
So you can't stand. Sometimes when you double, you want to stand because the guy knows exactly where to throw it to you. But if you don't have to double Bryant, now there's going to have to be other movement. So you can't stand and watch. You can't stand and watch Yogi. You can't stand and watch Troy. You can't stand and watch Bryant. And Tom Crean harps on this all the time. The ball moves through the paint. They move through the paint. They get to the paint. All of that causes breakdowns. And when you break down, that's when things should open up.
How much does Max Bielfeld potentially open things up when he is in there by having Woodbury have to get out of the middle? Or does he just sit back there? Bielfeld can hit a three-pointer.
He can.
You don't want him shooting eight of them, but...
You're right. I think that's accurate. But I don't think Max has enough cachet at the moment to
drag
switch
him out there until he hits three of them.
There you go. That's exactly right. Because what Indiana or what Iowa's seen on film is that's where they're going to go with him. Mm-hmm. Fine. You're going to have a hand on
him.
Make him hit a couple. And why would Iowa want to give up the rim?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. I always joke about that. It's so much easier to score from a foot away than 22 feet away.
Right.
So Iowa, they're good defensively. They rebound well because they understand how it is. And I think Iowa's got good enough athletes on the perimeter. And again, four seniors and a junior, Dave, there's not going to be a lot of tricks in Tom's bag that he's going to outfox all of them.
Right.
So what it means is that simplicity. Are you screening properly? Are you rolling properly? Are you off the ball? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? What's the call? Where should I go? Troy, are you standing on the wing or are you going to the baseline like you should be doing? Standing makes you easy to guard. When you move, it's more difficult to guard. And I think Iowa, again, they've seen it here at Assembly Hall. They've heard it really loud. They've been in things like that. But they've got guys, Dave, that are like Indiana. What about Jared Utoff going out to 23 feet and shooting threes?
Sure
he can do it. Jock can shoot threes. Gasell shoots threes. Clemens even hits a few. Woodbury's not. That's about it. So it's a very, very interesting matchup, and it should be a great game.
The other question is, for Indiana, it's their biggest – I've said it before, it's their biggest differentiator. When Troy Williams is playing aggressively and playing within himself and moving and doing, you know, the things you've seen the best out of him, he becomes a completely different player, and Indiana, frankly, is very, very difficult to beat. So the question becomes, he's only played 34 minutes the last two games.
Should be fresh. Including
the Michigan game. How do you get Troy Williams going without letting him go and get out of control to start the game? Because, again, the games that he's come out of the gate and been good and solid and been aggressive early and athletic, those are games that the Hoosiers have won, and they've won pretty easily in a couple of them. This team, to me, when it comes down to Iowa at home, when it comes down to Maryland at home, when it comes down to Purdue at home, I'm going to leave the road games out for now because I'm not sure this team's good enough, honestly, to win those two big road games. But those three games at home, I think they have to have Troy Williams not be a spectator.
How can you Troy Williams is the best Troy Williams when he makes good decisions. And I think for him, the good decision has to be attacking the basket as opposed to just going to the basket. I think there's a difference. You and I talk about this when we watch the games together. When Troy goes laterally.
Yeah, side across the lane.
And has to shoot back across the momentum, teams will let him have that because he has shown an abundancy of taking it.
It's very balletic, but it's not basketball.
It looks great, but when Troy goes to the basket and either gets fouled or dunks or lays the ball in or hands it off to Bryant, well, Indiana's more effective.
Right.
The three-point shot is fine when it's wide open. I don't know if you need a catch-and-shoot type three.
He's been pretty good selectively with his three-point
shot. He has been. There's a reason he's open. And sure. Again, when Troy gets into good positions early, when Troy gets baskets early, the first 5 minutes tells me everything I need to know about a game with Troy Williams. When he gets off to a slow start,
if he starts well, it tends to be a good 40 minutes.
He had two fouls and whatever.
If he doesn't, you might get a stretch later where he's got a good four minutes. But it doesn't tend to be the rest of his play the rest of the game.
And the interesting part about Troy, which can make him even better, is the way he is his athleticism involved in the rebound game, which leads to the transition game.
Absolutely.
Because when he's in transition, there's not too many guys that can either, A, stay with him or keep up to a spot where they're going to beat him to it for a charge. He's a freak athlete in that level. But not getting any rebounds and leaking out, and then all of a sudden Iowa's getting putbacks because we're cheating up the lane because we want to run, those aren't things that help. It's the little things. It's the fun. It's the simple things. It's the eighth grade things that Tom Crean's talking about. We rebound together. We run together. I think Indiana is just as athletic, if not more athletic, than Iowa. Bryant's going to beat Woodbury up down the court three times to one.
Absolutely.
But you can't run if you don't have the basketball. And it sounds so basic and so simple, but what Iowa can do, they have the length to ping-pong it on the glass, just like Indiana can. So it can't be Thomas Bryant and Troy's leaking and Yogi's leaking and Johnson's leaking and Bielefeld's the other guy underneath there. No offense to Max, but if he doesn't put a body on somebody.
6'8", non-leaper.
Just like you and me, but minus the 6'8".
Exactly.
It's a simple formula for the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers play really well when it's going well. And how does that happen? Make the extra pass. Make the right decision. Make the fast pass. Make one more fast pass and score. And make Iowa have to get out of what they do comfortably and chase you down. Iowa's shown you they can do that against Purdue. Purdue does not have the offensive firepower Indiana has. It's not even close. Not even close. Purdue going in droughts. You saw it last night. 18-point lead against Michigan State. No problem. Michigan State leading by four with a couple minutes to go.
That's obviously next week for the Hoosiers, but that's an interesting matchup.
Michigan State.
Well, we'll give you our prediction on Iowa, and we'll talk about Michigan State when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number, and we have John.
John!
How you doing, John?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good to hear from you. What's happening?
I'm just making it through winter like the rest of you guys and hoping that we can win a big game tomorrow. Now, I'll make this short and sweet because I want to hear your predictions and your analysis of Michigan State. But Troy Williams cannot be an 8-point and 7-rebound guy for Indiana to do what they want to do going forward. And one thing that's been a problem watching him play is he has a hard time going through contact right now around the rim. And I know Big Ten officiating is the worst of all the Power 5 conferences. It's not even close. They're terrible. But you've got to play through that. If you want to play the next level, he's not going to get foul calls if he does get to the NBA all the time going to the basket. You just got to play through that.
And referees do not
crazy that he ducks his head. He does everything Thomas Bryant doesn't do when Thomas Bryant's getting contacted. Thomas Bryant is a clinic for how a post player, especially a young post player, should play in the post when he's putting the ball up and trying to make a shot.
Referees do not give benefit of the doubt to out-of-control players.
Yeah. No, they do
they
not.
They don't. And, no, and remember,
they
don't.
They
because
think they think you're begging for a foul.
That's exactly right. Throwing your arms up in the air, throwing the ball up in the air, assuming that's going to happen, that's why I think the decision-making has to be better. And when that's not open, just keep your dribble and go somewhere else.
The guy who could get more calls for the Hoosiers would be Yogi. But Troy isn't earning it. Thomas has got to take it some, and you know, is doing better about that at the very least.
But I think it's when I think there's two Troys: the Troy that I'm going, or the Troy that I'm not going. And there has to be a happy medium in there on the decision basis, because it wouldn't kill you to pull up and shoot a jumper. Wouldn't kill you to pull up, and it doesn't have to be I'm going or I'm not going. There has to be some kind of other option.
Yeah, there's a little 8-footer in the lane. He's not going to get a shot blocked most of the time by that. No. The way he jumps and stuff. So
well, John, the book basket on Troy is not complicated. Until he makes four jump shots in a row, right, no one's going out to get him. They're not going to let him get to the middle because that's where he wants to go. So he's forced to angle drive, and he's usually not in the best. He never squares his shoulders to the basket. No. And, again, he has to get fouled. But there's a lot of teams in this league that pride themselves on not fouling because situations like that don't warrant it.
He still plays a lot like he's the best athlete on the field or on the floor, like he did in high school, and could get to the rim every time. And when he doesn't, he doesn't quite know how to end that equation. So the question, though, John, is, I mean, what do you do to get him involved without, you know, saying, here, Troy, here's the ball?
I don't know.
go figure stuff out for a while.
He's a Ricky Callaway athlete without the Ricky Callaway basketball acumen.
Yeah.
Callaway, I mean, and Callaway got hurt as a sophomore early, tore his knee up real bad, and they came back and they won a national championship. Callaway had a very high basketball IQ, and Troy doesn't have that. That's not a knock on him. It just isn't there.
It's not instinctual.
I think Glass hit it on the head. I think the best you can do is reach a happy medium with him. You don't have to get all the way to the basket against a set defense. You can shoot that little 5 to 8 foot jump shot, and you know, if you miss it, you're the quickest jumper on the court.
Amen.
Probably, and you can go get the rebound and maybe put it in or something like that.
But what he can't do is he can't check out. You can't have him not rebounding. You can't have him not playing.
I mean, you're leading
defense.
Rebounder on the team.
That's why
he's got
to
rebound.
He can't be an 8-7 guy for them to do anything. Well, they need more than that. And Yogi can't carry the team all by himself.
No, and every time we've asked him to do so, it's the result's usually not very pretty.
And it wouldn't hurt him to get the ball into Thomas Bryant a little more than they actually do and go through him first and then, you know, then pass it around.
John, you want to give us a prediction for this week?
Here, give us your prediction.
Two tough games?
I had them going 14-4 to start the season. And I had them losing at Minnesota and they won that game. I had them winning at Penn State, they lost that game. I had them winning at Michigan, but I've got them losing at Iowa, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and I had them losing at Minnesota. So I've got them losing at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Somehow I think they'll pull this. I mean, because of the way they've played for most of the time at home, and Iowa's the same kind of team they are. They're not real physical. They like an up and down game. That's Indiana's forte. Indiana ought to be focused after the Penn State debacle. So I think they pull it out, but it'll be really close.
And I think I think it's fair. I think the game should come down to the last two possessions, and you hope that the four seniors and one junior of Iowa don't pickle the one freshman, one sophomore, one junior, whoever else, and Yogi for Indiana. But
this is the best Iowa teams, I think, since the first year we were here in 70. When I think they went 14-0 in the Big Ten. They only played 14 games. They won the Big Ten with John Johnson and downtown Freddie Brown and those guys. I mean, they are really good. They're not a flash in the pan. When you win at Michigan State and you beat Purdue twice, and one of those at Mackey,
down 19 at Mackey.
You give Maryland all they want. You've proven what you are.
No, there's no question about it. There's no doubting Iowa at this point. John, we got to let you go.
Good
Thanks
job,
for the John, phone call.
As always.
We appreciate it. 333-266-5 is our phone number. Before we move on to the Spartans, Hoosiers win or lose tomorrow night against Iowa?
I think they win because of the three-point shot. I don't see them three games in a row struggling to make, two out of three. In Michigan, they made they shot it pretty well.
It was more getting to the bucket for a while there, but they did a good job.
And I think the balance, it can't be all three-point shots. I think they have to score. And when they score, and this is a broken record, they score, that's the pressure they put on other teams. If other teams want to take quick shots and Indiana rebounds and they score. Just keep scoring. Balance and knock down some threes. There's your keys. Indiana 81-78.
I like it. I think the Hoosiers win 85-80
Iowa.
Then they go up to Michigan State, where they probably aren't going to score 85 points at East Lansing. But who knows? Sparty's starting to shoot the ball awfully well themselves and rounding into form after some struggles there of their own.
I don't know if I'd like to be at practice today in East Lansing, because Michigan State dug themselves a fine and dandy hole last night, and then you saw Michigan State dig themselves out of it, and you wondered just what Purdue was doing. And Michigan State has enough pieces, and it just seems like this is the time of year. They just won five in a row before that one. It's just like, all right, we're starting to go through the gears. We're starting to get everybody rolling. Here's what I do know. Davis, Costello,
big.
41, real 25. Big. Yep. They've got four or five guys in the front line that isn't going to bother it. Indiana's going to have to knock down shots, Dave, because I don't know how many second chance points they're going to get against a good rebounding side like that. Obviously, Michigan State, it's been, what, 19 to 20 up there? Something ridiculous. I can't. Just common sense tells you Michigan State's going to win that game.
No, and I agree with you there. They did lose at home in a three-game stretch to Iowa, of course, and Nebraska. Nebraska being the big shock, of course, and that was three straight losses, then won four straight before last night.
Four straight, sorry.
A little bit of a head-scratcher certainly early in that game, but the toughness you expect out of Michigan State, and you're right, when they come off a loss like that and they aren't feeling real good about it, he's going to have them focused. But I think the key becomes the floor, and on the floor, you're exactly right. Thomas Bryant's been struggling in some spots against some big guys. He's going to have guys wave after wave coming at him. They throw all kinds of big bodies at you, and not all of them are going to play 35 minutes and beat you up. They're just going to go out there and beat you up, and I don't see this team physically.
They can. They just have to make a ton of threes.
Especially after an Iowa game that to me is going to be leaving a lot on the floor for them. Going to East Lansing, I just don't see
it. Yeah, I hope it's not a – I hope it's a 2-0 weekend. Let's put it that way.
Well, of course.
Because Thursday is really the weekend for the most part. You can only play one at a time. And tomorrow's focus cannot have one even inch of iota on.
Oh, no. We're just not on the air again until
exactly right. And I get all that. But you can't. That can't even enter the mind about what the weekend is going to be. It has to be.
Next week, the Hoosiers come home to Nebraska and Purdue. So a little bit more home cooking in the week after. But this is a tough week for the Hoosiers.
Dave,
starts tomorrow night, 9 o'clock ESPN.
Can't be 15-4 down against Iowa.
No, you can't get out of that
hole. I don't
think
you can do that. I don't think it'd be 9-0. That's going to be pushing it. But well, that gives Iowa tempo.
You know, you want to win this game. This is the game you get up 10-0 on them like they've done in a couple other spots.
But remember, don't get up. Execute up. That's the difference. Being too hyped and not executing. I know, but this team has shown all kinds of waves. The best wave tomorrow is you got to put the ball in the basket.
We got to take off, folks. We will be back on Monday, hopefully talking about the big 2-0 Hoosier weekend.
That'd be incredible.
And we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.